Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. Easter is supposed to honor the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But what do sunrise services, Easter bunnies, and Easter eggs have to do with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Do they really have anything to do with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Are these pagan practices that came to be adopted by nominal Christendom? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is one of the greatest events in the history of humankind. As the Apostle Paul writes, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. We shall be saved by His life. Because Jesus Christ lives, we can have eternal life. If Jesus Christ had remained dead, of course, we could not have eternal life. We know that God raised Jesus from the dead and that He's now seated at the right hand of God. But was Jesus raised from the dead on Easter Sunday? And what difference does it make in our worship of God? So how did Easter come to be observed in Catholic and Protestant churches? Do you know that Easter was not widely observed as a Christian holiday until the 4th century? More importantly, the word Easter is not in the Bible. In Acts 12:4, the word Easter that you find there is translated from the Greek word pascha, which means Passover. In all other places in the New Testament, pascha is translated as Passover because that's what it means. The early church historian Eusebius states that the early Christians observed the Passover on Nisan on the 14th day of the first month of the sacred calendar. History tells us that early in the second century, Bishop Sixtus, also found as Sixtus of the Church of Rome, was the first to disregard the actual day for the observance of the Passover and to celebrate it on Sunday. When the Easter observance was introduced in Rome, it was celebrated the Sunday after the biblically mandated date of Nisan 14. In about 135 AD, Polycarp, a disciple of the Apostle John, now in his 80s and Bishop of Smyrna, journeyed to Rome. There he met with Anicetus, Bishop of Rome, to discuss what came to be known as the Quarto Decimum Controversy, literally meaning the 14th controversy. Polycarp tried to persuade Anicetus from substituting what is celebrated today as Easter Sunday, the first Sunday following the first full moon of the vernal equinox, substituting that for the biblically mandated date for Passover on the 14th day of the first month of the sacred year. He was not successful, sadly, in his attempt to persuade Anicetus to remain faithful to the plain teachings of the Bible. So he returned to Smyrna and Ephesus with the disappointing news. But thankfully, the true church, the church of God, the church that Jesus founded, continued to worship in accordance with the teachings of John the Apostle of Jesus and the Holy Scriptures. In about 190 AD, Victor, Bishop of Rome, called a meeting in which he attempted to settle the still raging dispute between the Western and Asian churches over when the Paschal Festival, Passover, should be observed. So about 50 years after Polycarp had debated the topic with Anicetus at Rome, his successor, Polycrates, boldly confronts the Bishop of Rome over the date of the observance of Passover. It is very instructive to note that at this point in time, the observance of Easter was not even an issue. The reason being, it had not yet been introduced into nominal Christendom by the Catholic Church. They were debating the date for the observance of Passover, which came to be erroneously called the Lord's Supper. The following is an excerpt from a letter sent by Polycrates to Victor. As for us, then, this is after the bishop at Rome, Victor, had said, we're going to change and observe this day on Sunday, the Lord's Passover. Polycrates sent a letter to Victor. As for us then, the Asian churches, we keep the day without tampering with it, neither addressing, neither adding or subtracting. For indeed in Asia great luminaries have fallen asleep, such as shall rise again in the day of the Lord's appearing, when he comes with glory from heaven to seek out all the saints. Philip, one of the 12 apostles, who has fallen asleep, John 2, He who leant back on the Lord's breast, John 13:25. He has fallen asleep at Ephesus. Moreover, Polycarp too of Smyrna, both bishop and martyr, these all observe the 14th day for the Passover, according to the gospel, in no way deviating therefrom, but following the rule of faith. And moreover, I also, Polycrates, the least of you all, do according to the tradition. This is from Second Century Christianity, page 82. Victor threatened to communicate as heretics all those of the Eastern churches that did not conform to his ruling. Polycrates and his followers continued to observe the 14th day of the first month of the sacred calendar as the beginning of the Passover season. They were called Quartrodecimans, after the number 14 by their detractors. Not long after his controversy with Victor, Polycrates, like Polycarp before him, was martyred, a true Christian. For as he said to Victor, better people than I have said, we must obey God rather than men. After years of heated debate, Constantine's Nicene Council in 325 officially ruled that Easter was to be held on the Sunday after the first full moon, after the vernal equinox, which, because of the difficulty in correlating with the Jewish calendar, gives us a date variation from March the 22nd to April the 25th. The resurrection has been used to justify the celebration of a pagan holiday, and it was used by the Roman Catholic Church to turn to Sunday, a pagan worship day, into what they erroneously call the Lord's Day. However, there were those who knew the truth of the Bible and continued to observe Passover as Christ had commanded the apostles. In the 4th century, Socrates Scholasticus wrote in his Ecclesiastical History, quote, neither the apostles, therefore, nor the gospels have anywhere imposed Easter. The Savior and his apostles have enjoined us by no law to keep this feast, Easter. But by 752, the church had totally given up fighting the pagans and Christianized the elements, so-called Christianized the elements of the pagan celebration. It is very instructive to note that the Puritans who came to America did not celebrate Easter or Christmas. However, after the Civil War, the Protestant churches of America began to observe them as special days. So how did the Lord's Passover come to be called Easter? Easter is a name directly associated with various pagan goddesses. Spring celebrations continued to be held at Easter to honor various fertility goddesses until 399. Amazingly, in 399, the Theodosian Code banned the observance of pagan rituals during the holy days of Easter and Christmas. Actually, these are not holy days and are not commanded to be kept. However, Passover is commanded to be kept in its season in the Bible, and so are all of the other festival days that are outlined in Leviticus chapter 23, the same days that Jesus and the apostles kept. However, pagan worshipers were able to continue worshiping Isis, even though the Theodosian Code banned the observance of pagan rituals during the days that were supposed to be, quote, Christian celebrations. The pagans continued to worship Isis by calling their feast by another name, Easter. Saltman, in his book on Rome Time, the Codex Calendar of 354 A.D., said that the rituals connected with Isis became part of the Easter holiday. At the end of the winter, the season changes because the earth tilts at 23.5 degrees as it rotates on its axis and revolves around the sun. Spring arrives when the sun is over the equator. On the first day of spring, known as the vernal equinox, which means spring, equal night, equal day, both day and night are at an equal 12 hours long. This meant that the long winter nights were over and that the sun again began to take control and move back toward the north in the northern hemisphere. This time was marked by celebrations and festivals to thank the pagan gods. These ancient rituals were fertility festivals observed in hopes that the gods would bless them with fertile flocks and fields. Animal and child sacrifices were offered to the gods to receive their favor. The pagan practice of celebrating the return of the sun at the vernal equinox came into nominal Christianity under the pretense of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead on Sunday morning. First of all, Jesus was not resurrected on Sunday morning. There is no record of the disciples observing the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The men and women who went to the tomb on the first day of the week after the crucifixion, they went there for the purpose of anointing the body of Jesus. They had no idea that he had been resurrected. They were totally surprised when they came to the tomb and found the tomb empty. Jesus said the only sign that he would give of his messiahship was the fact that he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, the same as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. He was crucified on a Wednesday afternoon, buried at about sunset, and after 3 nights and 3 days in the tomb, he was resurrected at about sunset on the weekly Sabbath. So when they came to the tomb on Sunday morning, he was already gone. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll see what God thinks about these pagan practices that have been erroneously connected with certain Christian observances. If you would really like to know the truth about God's holy days versus the pagan holidays, then you need to call for our free booklet, God's Holy Days or Pagan Holidays. Which one will you observe? Or will you just say like everybody else generally does, what difference does it make anyhow? All I do is have to have faith in Jesus Christ. If I have faith in Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, it's all over with. Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, in that they observe the traditions of men and have forsaken my commandments. You can read this clearly in Matthew chapter 15. So will you forsake the clear teachings of the Bible and the clear practices that Jesus and the apostles observed and the practices that they commanded us to observe? Or will you observe the practices of the pagans that were brought into nominal Christianity under the guise of worshiping Christ? If you want to know the truth about these matters, all you have to do is to read our booklet, God's Holy Days or Pagan Holidays, and you can receive a free copy with no follow-up, no questions, simply by calling our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614, and we'll send you this free booklet, God's Holy Days or Pagan Holidays, and also a subscription to the Good News Magazine, a magazine of understanding that brings you timely articles that will help you in overcoming the things that need to be overcome in this present evil age. We deal with all the aspects of life, the great issues of life, and help you make your life more joyful, enjoyable, and happy in view of the teachings of the Holy Bible. So all you have to do to receive the free booklet, God's Holy Days or Pagan Holidays, and a subscription to the Good News Magazine is to call our toll-free number, 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. So what about you? Will you observe the pagan practices that are described in the Bible, or will you observe the truth of God? And does it really matter? What does God really think about it? Note what God inspired the prophet Ezekiel to write concerning the abominable pagan practice of worshiping toward the sun. This is found in Ezekiel 8:15 through 18. Then said he unto me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn you yet again, and you shall see greater abominations than these. Ezekiel had just seen women crying for Tammuz, a false pagan god. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. See, the temple is where God had placed his presence. So they put their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Are you going to turn back your back on God and his true presence and worship that which is not any God at all? Then said he unto me, Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? Is it a light thing for you to participate in pagan practices in the name of Christianity? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. So which one are you going to practice? The name Esther can be traced back to Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod. She was also known as Astarte, also as the queen of heaven, the consort of the Chaldean sun god Baal, who is mentioned in connection with the Canaanites, where she was known as Asherah. The first commandment states, You shall not have any other gods before me. One of the reasons that both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah went into captivity was because they turned to pagan worship rituals. The prophet Jeremiah writes, See you not what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make the cakes to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Yes, God is angry when you worship other gods, when you practice pagan practices in the name of worshiping him. The worship of this goddess of love and fertility, who was actually a representation of the previously mentioned Semiramis, spread into various cultures under different names: Isis in Egypt, Ishtar in Babylon, Athena in Athens, Minerva and Aphrodite in Greece, Diana in Ephesus, Cybele and Venus in Rome, and Ashtoreth in Israel. So the word Easter was derived from Ishtar, the ancient pagan goddess of the Babylonian and Assyrian cultures, also known to the Phoenicians as Astarte, one of the titles of Beltis, the queen of heaven, the wife of the sun god Baal. Both Ishtar and Astarte are pronounced the same as Easter today. Beltis or Baal was also known as Molech, and is referred to in the Old Testament. In Leviticus 18:21, You shall not let any of your seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Eternal. The Israelites eventually sacrificed their children to Molech in Leviticus 20 and verse 2. Again, you shall say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel or the strangers that sojourn in Israel that gives any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and will cut off from among his people because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. So what about Lent that is observed in the spring? The word Lent comes from the Old English lichten, which means spring, created by the Catholic Church around 525 under the guidance of Abbot Dionysius the Little. Lent is a 40-day period from Ash Wednesday until Easter that is set aside for fasting and seeking repentance. The pagans observed a period of fasting and mourning for the death and resurrection of Tammuz, the son of Semiramis. This period came to be known as Lent. This observance is not found in the Bible, so it was not recognized by Jesus, the apostles, or the early Christian church. However, nowadays, it usually means giving up something, usually some bad habit, or even cutting back in order to please God. This period of abstinence actually originated in Babylon as a preliminary to the annual day that honored the death and resurrection of Tammuz, and later was observed in Egypt to honor Osiris, the son of Isis, who was the counterpart of Tammuz. When Nimrod died and was made the sun god, Semiramis then had an illegitimate son called Tammuz, who she claimed to be the son of Nimrod. She said that he was the promised seed of the woman, as we find in Genesis 3:15, where God said that he would raise up a seed that would bruise Satan's head, and demanded that both her and Tammuz be worshipped. Semiramis became known as the Queen of Heaven and was the prototype from which all other pagan goddesses came. The Easter sunrise services was derived from the ancient pagan rite where sun worshippers gathered at dawn with their faces toward the rising sun to worship the sun god Baal and his consort, the Easter goddess. And now this practice has come over into nominal Christendom. Her representation came to be seen in the Roman Catholic Church's worship of Mary, who is called the Mother of the Church, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, and the Queen of the Universe. These titles cannot refer to Mary, the Mother of Jesus, because nowhere in the Bible does it talk about Mary's role in such a way. According to Babylonian tradition, when Tammuz was killed, his mother cried so much that he came back to life. The manifestation of this was the rebirth and blooming of all vegetation in the spring, which came to symbolize his resurrection and why Tammuz is honored in the spring. Why would anyone try to honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ by facing the sun on a Sunday morning? Very similar is the story in the ancient writings of the Sumerians in Mesopotamia, which said that Tammuz was married to the goddess Inanna, or Ishtar, the mother goddess. When he was killed, she was so overcome with grief that she followed him to the underworld. And in her absence, the earth began dying, crops stopped growing, and animals stopped mating. Ea, the god of water and wisdom, sent a message that Inanna was to be brought back. This messenger sprinkled both Inanna and Tammuz with the water of life, and they were given the power to return to the light of the sun for 6 months of the year. Then Tammuz would again have to return to the underworld, prompting Inanna to seek him, and again Ea would have to revive him and retrieve him. The prophet Ezekiel writes about the women weeping for Tammuz in Ezekiel 8 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, "Have you seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Eternal sees us not, the Eternal hath forsaken the earth." Is that what people believe today? Is that why they are behaving so abominably? Then said he also unto me, "Turn you yet again, you shall see greater abominations than they do." Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. This one that Semiramis gave birth to, that she claimed that died and was resurrected. So how did eggs come to be associated with Easter? They believe Earth hatched from an egg, which contributed to this custom. Eggs are a symbol of the new life that returns to nature at Easter time. The customs of exchanging eggs began long before Easter was celebrated. It was a custom of the Egyptians and the Persians. They exchanged decorated eggs in spring colors. The practice, this pagan practice, came into nominal Christendom when nominal Christians adopted the practice of using red-colored eggs to symbolize the resurrection. In England, they began writing messages and dates on their eggs and exchanging them with friends and loved ones. In the 1800s, eggs were made, and they were opened on one end, and a scene was put inside. They were used as table centerpieces. Rabbits symbolized new life and rebirth in ancient Egypt. They considered it a symbol of the moon, as the moon determines the date of Easter. The Easter Bunny's visit is based upon a German legend. The legend goes that a poor woman decorated eggs for her children to find during a famine. At the moment they found them, they looked up to see a big bunny hopping away. So the Easter Bunny brings, quote, Easter eggs. God specifically commanded Israel not to learn the ways of the pagan nations. Deuteronomy 18:9. When you are coming to the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn the abominations of these nations. In verse 14, Deuteronomy 18:14, "For these nations which you shall possess, hearken unto the observers of times and the diviners. But as for you, the Eternal your God hath not permitted you to do so." What about you? Now that you know the truth, will you attempt to rationalize it away and say, "Oh, well, there's no harm in practicing the ways of the pagans who sacrificed their children to Baal, as long as we remember Christ. God has specifically commanded us to honor Him according to the revelation that is found in the Holy Scriptures. You have to ask yourself, why was there such a debate on the matter if it was passed down according to scriptural tradition? Today, the holiday of Easter continues to be observed at a different time than the biblically mandated observance of the Passover. The warnings against idolatry are numerous in the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul specifically made an attack against these pagan gods, quote, "Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions." The word fables is translated from the Greek mythos, which was a legendary story that was told as opposed to one of historical fact. It's where we get the word myth from. And as we look at the pagan tradition of Easter that predates the resurrection of Jesus by more than 2,000 years, we can see why Paul said this. The book of Revelation specifically states, Revelation 22, verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." In Revelation 22, 19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So will you observe the Lord's Passover as Christ commanded on the night before he was crucified the next day? Or will you observe the pagan practices that are condemned by Almighty God? Here's what God says, do. "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you," the words of the Apostle Paul, "that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat it and as often as you drink it, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, irreverently, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Are you guilty of that when you observe pagan practices? I submit to you that you are. So who will you obey, Jesus or the pagans? And be sure to be tuned to this station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on our program, God's Holy Days or Pagan Holidays, please call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be tuned to this station at this same time next week for World News and Prophecy.